Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, December 14th. We just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday Night Tradition at Mega Powers Radio Studios, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for finding us, and I'll tell you all about the many ways that you could participate in this show. But first, let me just tell all y'all out there who enjoy this show, you can support us in a number of ways. The top way to do it is by becoming a supporter of us on Patreon. You don't know what Patreon is? Essentially, it's a way for you to subscribe to give a small donation to us on a monthly basis for as little as $1 a month. Not a lot. I know pretty much everyone out there can afford $1 a month, and every single one of our listeners gave $1 a month. We could easily afford the outrageous cost it is for us to keep this station going that we enjoy doing as a labor of love for you guys, free of charge and ad-free. So we're just asking you to give $1 or however you feel like giving, because it'll help us keep bringing you shows like the Raw post show, the Daceman show, the All Talk show, the pay-per-view post shows like we just had last night for TLC, and anything else we keep bringing your way on here. You can also support us just by joining us live every Monday, finding us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, TuneIn, wherever you would like to find your podcasts. And just keep spreading the word about the Raw post show, because the more people tuning in, the more fun it is for everybody. And I was talking about TLC. Guys, last night was TLC, and we had lots of follow-up of that into this show tonight. We want to know what everyone out there in Mega Powers Radio listenership land thinks about TLC and tonight's Raw. Tell us by calling in with your phones, area code 760-512-7247. Drop it into the chat room, which we got opened up. Shout-outs to the folks who got here early. Kaylin Ferris, Silent Wonder, Doom, and Wazili. We know there's been some technical difficulties. Some folks may not be able to get their chat room operating. Perhaps if you have the stream going and the chat room's not showing up, try reloading the page. It should show up then. I know we had a little bit of a late start here tonight, guys. As I said, we had some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. Not the first time. But we're on the air now, and we appreciate having you all with us. And, of course, you could tweet to us at Raw Post Show, post in the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Just search Facebook for that group. If you're not there, we keep the conversation going all week throughout there. We want to know your thoughts, any questions you got for us. Throw them our way, and we will read it here on the air on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio.
Peyton would love it if you threw it.
Indeed. We're going to get the convo started with just us hosts here, though, to get things rolling. My name is Mike Peyton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and host of the Raw Post Show. With me tonight is the main man of SmarkOutMoment.com, the Smack Talk podcast, and many other projects you may be checking out. His name is Tony Mango.
What's going on, everybody?
And also with us is Mr. Steven. Wayo. Wayo?
I think he's dead. Pulled a Wayo.
Yeah, he pretty much pulled a Wayo. All right, well, we're going to keep the convo going without Wayo then.
Just add a couple of errs at the end of TLC. Okay.
So we are the night after TLC, and last night was an odd show. Very controversial opinions on that. If you want to hear more about that, listen to the show that we did last night, which you can find on smarkoutmoment.com, archived there. We saw it continue tonight. The big thing that happened, of course, was Roman Reigns attacking Triple H, taking him out of action. And tonight, We saw the follow-up of that with Stephanie McMahon slapping the life out of Roman Reigns in the first segment. Eventually, it led to Vince McMahon showing up, and he, through some trickery, Jedi mind tricks that Roman Reigns must have pulled, made a match for him to have the shot at the WWE title. But if he lost, he would end up fired. So that was our big story that we had tonight. Would Roman Reigns be able to redeem himself and get back the WWE title? Or would Vince McMahon get to do what he wants and fire Roman Reigns? Fellas, first off, just let me ask you, when you saw that this is what was being set up tonight, what was going through your minds, Tony?
Well, it's kind of a 50-50. I mean, when we were going into this episode of Monday Night Raw, I wasn't really that excited about it. TLC, I think, sucked. And if you want to know why I think it sucked, make sure you go back and listen to that podcast, because I go in depth about how every little bit of it was annoying in some way. But when they say Vince McMahon's going to show up, then you know at least something interesting is going to happen, whether it's going to be really good or really bad. So at the very least, I was intrigued. But this ended up being a damn good episode.
Wayo, when you saw they announced this, what were you feeling? Especially with Roman Reigns on your Fantasy League team, you must have really been shitting your pants.
Well, after last night, I kind of got the inkling that we might have a firing storyline, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, 100 points, my lead's gone. But after tonight, I'm a little more confident things will be okay. It was a really fun opening, and everything involved in the storyline tonight was relevant. Every segment was relevant, and they just did a fantastic job of setting it up.
We eventually got our main event of the night, which was Roman Reigns versus Sheamus. WWE title on the line, sort of a rematch of what we had last night. It wasn't a TLC match, but these guys were showing the wear and tear that they had from last night. Sheamus especially. That's one of my favorite things about Sheamus, is whenever he's in a match like that, he has bumps and bruises and just marks all over his body for weeks afterwards. It's kind of a masochistic thing, probably, but I think that's kind of a cool thing with him. Roman Reigns overcoming a lot of odds here. He's got Vince McMahon out at ringside. Eventually we get interference from both Alberto Del Rio and Rusev, but he does manage to overcome all of those odds, and we have a new WWE champion tonight. Roman Reigns wins the title back, two-time WWE champion. Wow. Waco, as we were saying, you had to have been worried, but how was your feeling afterwards?
I was very satisfied. One, because Roman's on my team. Two, the guy totally deserves the belt. As much as he's got haters, the guy deserves the position he's in. And three, no more Sheamus as WWE champion.
Ooh, I can pay attention to title matches now.
Well, you think he's going to have at least a couple matches with Sheamus.
Oh, that's true. God damn it. Way to kill my buzz.
But I'm just glad that Sheamus is going to take a backseat eventually to the title picture. It really annoyed me that that was our main feud, because one of the biggest things that stuck out at TLC is, wow, this is a main event.
What? I mean, why? I don't see what people have against these guys. They're both main event talents. They're both guys that are on that level.
One of them is.
Okay, whatever.
If you're going to stack up people on the roster, there's no way Sheamus is on the Neville level.
Well, Neville's not doing too good himself, but we'll get to Neville in a little bit. Tony, I'm sure you're ecstatic to see that belt come off of Sheamus, as you've already shown. But is Roman Reigns the right guy, and was this the right way to do it?
That I'm not sure. I do really like how they did this to an extent, and I also have to kind of preface that. What I don't like about it is, why the fuck didn't this just happen at TLC? I mean, this is a show where this is a great show, and if you just ask me what's happening on Raw, I'm going to give a lot of positives. But then it also kind of makes me wonder why they didn't do this for the pay-per-view, and it kind of annoys me a little bit. And I'm also nervous about what's happening going forward, because I said before, I don't want Brock versus Reigns. And if this means that this is a higher chance of happening, then I don't even know if I maybe would have wanted Sheamus to drop the belt. It's sort of, I'm going to accept that I'm happy that Sheamus isn't the champion right now. I think that Roman Reigns deserves to have the belt, and I'm just hesitant to completely buy the concept until we know what's happening for WrestleMania. I'm going to be more comfortable or paranoid after the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Wazili in the chat room saying, as soon as they go with the fired angle, you know the guy isn't getting fired. Of course. What are you talking about? They get fired all the time. They just don't stay fired.
I actually thought that there was a good chance he would get fired tonight.
I thought it was a sure thing. Mm-hmm. I was shocked when he won the match.
Because he would just basically be missing the Slammy Awards, and that's it, if they brought him back for the Royal Rumble. And they've done that many times.
They could even have him win a Slammy.
Right.
And, like, you know, have that be a thing where it's like, oh, well, he couldn't be here.
Mm-hmm. Because we fired him, and then, I don't know, John Cena comes back, and he's just kind of like, you know, I'm everybody's savior, and I'm also going to bring back Roman Reigns or something like that, you know?
Oh, of course.
But you know what is kind of cool that they did here tonight? This is not WWE's, like, they didn't book this or whatever, but ended up happening. How cool is it that last year, or, well, earlier this year, Philly hated Roman Reigns.
Oh, gosh.
And it was just the two of us in, like, the whole freaking arena that were chanting for him. And he wins the title in Philly, and they're cheering for him. You kind of have to argue in WWE's favor that they did the right thing if it ended up turning them around after a couple months, right?
Well, let's just not forget that a lot of the reason they were booing Roman Reigns was simply because he was not Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. But even over the past couple months, like, there's still those holdouts that, like, last night they were chanting, "We want Cena."
That was good. Well, they were in Boston, Cena's hometown.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In that defense, at least. But there is, it's still a mixed reaction for him. He is not as over as they can, and they have been doing everything they can. This is literally what they're doing now, with Vince McMahon coming in as the highest power to go against him. This is the biggest thing and the last thing that I think they can do to try to get this guy over.
Well,
and if this isn't what does it, I don't know what they have left.
He has no excuse for not succeeding right now. Vince is the greatest villain of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Like, you can talk about your hot rods, and some people like to put Flair up there. No. Vince is the best heel of all time.
The way they just got Vince set up tonight, you know, first off, just Stephanie introducing, like, oh, yeah? Well, Vincent Kennedy McMahon's coming. And just also, it's like, even if you haven't seen Vince McMahon, because they mentioned he hasn't been on the show in over a year. If you're just a casual watcher, it's just like, whoa, Vince McMahon's coming? Oh, that sounds like a big deal. They interrupt a match. First off, just to show his limo being pulled up. Like, they just pull the cameras away and go to the back. Go, hey, fuck that match. There's a limo coming in. And then he literally just plays his music and walks out to the ring while this match is going on and kicks everybody out.
Get the hell out of my damn ring.
Kicks out Bo Dallas, kicks out R-Truth, kicks out the referee, and just claims his land. And then he just goes over and sits in a chair and is like, all right, we're just going to sit here and wait a little bit.
Kind of makes you wonder why they didn't just have the match if they were going to wait.
Yeah, right. Well, they had to have commercials, of course. So they come back from commercial, and finally he calls out Roman Reigns. And my favorite part of that whole thing is just where he still asserts himself as, you know, once upon a time, there was a day when I would have beaten an apology out of you. And Roman Reigns kind of snickers at him, and Vince is like, oh, you don't think I could still do it? And Vince McMahon starts taking off his jacket, and it's like, man, I bet you Vince could take him.
Or at least Vince thinks that he can. Like, he fully buys the act, you know what I mean?
Well, now here's the thing that I think might be kind of interesting about this. The fact that Vince sent Stephanie away, Triple H wasn't there, this was Vince McMahon in charge, and now, one night he was there, it's led to Roman Reigns as champion. Now you have to imagine, Stephanie and Triple H are not going to be happy about this.
You think they're going to try to do a McMahon feud?
I'm just saying that there's a subtle setup for that.
So that would kind of throw out the idea of Reigns and Triple H at WrestleMania, unless Triple H would win the Royal Rumble. But do that, then, I mean, who would you have fight Triple H?
You don't have to have somebody fight Triple H. Triple H could not fight. He could just sit in the back and do his thing.
For WrestleMania?
Yeah.
He's not a necessity at all.
He's nice. I mean, if there's a good match to set up, do it. But he doesn't have to be there.
Well, he's not the Undertaker. What would the feud be set up for, then? If you were going to set up, like, a Vince and Triple H thing. If you don't do it at WrestleMania, when do you do it?
It's just a long-term power struggle.
Hmm.
I think this is something that could go all the way to the WrestleMania of next year. But maybe that's... I think that's giving him way too much credit to have that kind of foresight.
Yeah, I think this is just simple as, we need a bigger villain to get Roman Reigns over. Let's bring Vince back. He's as over as you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have Roman climb this mountain. He'll probably knock off Triple H at some point, and I wouldn't be surprised if out of all the people Vince went to topple Roman Reigns, he goes, Brock fucking Lesnar. I'll shake hands with Paul Heyman, and that's your opponent.
I just totally have no interest in that.
Oh, gosh. People in the chat room here are saying, with Sheamus as Roman Reigns as champion, if Triple H came in and won the Royal Rumble.
It's a possibility.
Ugh.
It's definitely a possibility.
It could happen.
We have so few people on the roster right now. There's not many people that could fight Roman Reigns anybody could fight for the title at WrestleMania.
Imagine Triple H and Brock were the last two.
You should
in the Rumble.
You should play it that Triple H is like so deluded that he's giving himself this huge comeback and he plays the Beautiful Day shit again from his Roman Reigns injuries and wins the Rumble. It'd be fucking great. You know, like how they played up Triple H burying all those guys and they had the vignette of everyone he toppled. Mm-hmm. I say just go balls to the wall with it. People love that shit, so let him hate Triple H. Let him win the Rumble. I'm fine with it.
So I want to go back to the idea that this was the wrong night of this to have all this happen. They had Roman Reigns punch out Triple H last night and attack him with a chair. They sort of made a build-up for the following night for something to happen later. And that's like completely backwards of how you're supposed to book a pay-per-view.
Right.
So you could have had that attack on Triple H happen on Raw, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I have to watch TLC. I have to see what happens after Roman Reigns did that. And then you could have had the win at TLC. You could have played everything exactly the same way. You could have started the show off with Stephanie calling out Roman Reigns, saying Vince was going to be there that night. Have Vince be out there in that main event, try to do all the same things. You can still have the League of Nations come out and interfere, just like they did. Sans Barrett. Sans means without, by the way.
Yeah, for the people that don't know that, like that waiter at freaking...
you guys have any other thoughts about this just being the wrong time for this?
Let me throw a quick thing out there right now. You just said Sans Wade Barrett again tonight. The hell was he?
He wasn't even there in that one part where Vince was talking to them backstage. So I was like, okay, well, he's noticeably absent at this point.
Maybe Roman Reigns wouldn't have won the title if he would have been there. Do your job, Barrett. As far as the difference between doing it at TLC and doing it here, there's a couple possibilities, and I don't want to rule out the idea that any of them are exactly what the reasoning is, but one idea, maybe WWE is just thinking to themselves, well, we already have these people for the network, and, you know, like, we need to get the people to tune into Monday Night Raw because the ratings are bad, so let's do Monday Night Raw as the more focal point now instead of the network, because... you already signed up earlier this month. You don't really care, and you're going to sign up for the pay-per-view if you're interested, and if you're not, then you already signed up for the month anyway, you know? Another thing, what if they just think that TLC was good enough? That was like, we gave them an amazing pay-per-view, and we're going to follow it up with a great Monday Night Raw. I would argue against it, but I wouldn't put it past them actually feeling that way.
I'm always curious how much they research what the reviews of the shows are.
They
and obviously they check out like Meltzer and people like that, but I mean like, do they have someone skimmering WrestleZone and Bleacher Report? Like,
if they do, they're not gonna like my articles.
Well, I imagine if they do go to Meltzer, what's the point though? It's like his opinion is shit unless it's a match from New Japan Pro Wrestling. So like, there's so much bullshit on the internet, though. I imagine they look at it and just get sick of it. I mean, there's some ridiculous... I
imagine they do some kind of research, though. They got to have somebody on the finger, with their finger on the pulse, I should say, that maybe they skim Bleacher Report. Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting them to go to Smarkout Moment and read my friggin' articles or anything like that, but maybe they do. I don't know. And I think that they would look like at the response on Twitter and the response on Facebook and any of like the Instagram posts that they have, because that's a direct connection to a lot of people. And if you see, you know, you upload a picture of like, here's the end of the night for TLC, what did you guys think about the pay-per-view? And on Instagram or something, you got all these people going, shit, pay-per-view, terrible, what a waste, I'm canceling. It's got to be different than when you get those great responses where everybody's going like, this was fucking amazing and all that other kind of stuff. So they got to know, you know?
Got to know, you know?
Oh, Drew's here.
We want to know what everyone out there thinks about the Roman Reigns victory tonight. Drop it in the chat room. Tweet to us and start calling to us. We're going to be opening those phone lines in just a moment. We still got lots of other things to talk about from the show tonight as well. A fantastic match between Ambrose and Ziggler. Extreme Rules match between Wyatt's and ECW teams. And just an overall really good Raw. I'm excited to talk about the rest of this on. Before we start opening up the phone lines, so I just want to take another time to remind everyone out there that there is a group on Facebook. If you are on Facebook, you should be a part of it because it is our official fan group and it is called The Mega Maniacs. We continue the conversation all throughout the week, not just here on Monday nights. You can post your funny memes. You can tell memories of times you went to wrestling shows or stuff you watched on TV or your thoughts about shows as they're happening on TV. We do a Raw chat every single week. We usually do them for the pay-per-views as well.
You can even sell your Mick Foley socks that you got as a present.
I want to start doing them for other shows too. Probably not SmackDown, but maybe when the new season of Lucha Underground starts, I'll be looking to do some chats in there as well. So if you are a fan of what we do here and you want to continue talking about wrestling with us all throughout the week, search on Facebook for The Mega Maniacs, or you could do facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs, all one word there. Pretty easy to find. Just request membership. Me or someone else will approve you real quickly, and then you'll be able to join in all the fun there throughout the week. For tonight, though, let's continue going on with the phone lines opening up, and we're going to take on our first caller. Reminder, everyone out there, if you want to get yourself in line, pick up your phone, dial area code 760-512-7247. All right, our first caller comes to us from the 646 area code. Caller from 646, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys,
it's Aisha. Oh, my gosh, Aisha. What's shaking, girl?
Long time no see.
Indeed, I know you've had things going down. I'm assuming everything went well for you with your endeavors.
Yeah, just school, you know.
So, yeah. Great night to come back. Excellent edition of Raw. What do you think about it?
Oh my God, this Raw pretty solid. And due to TLC that happened last night, I was actually excited for Raw, and my expectations were lived through. I'm just like, oh, that main event. My favorite Roman won that title.
He did indeed. You're definitely happy about that. So, what are your thoughts as far as him going against Vince McMahon? That's the chairman, one of the biggest villains they've had of all time, I believe, as Wago said. Is this good for Roman Reigns? Is this going to be something he's going to be able to survive messing with?
Oh yeah, definitely. This is like the perfect story they can go through. Roman Reigns against the Authority and Vince and what he did. Like, so good, man. Triple H versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. You know how epic that would be?
For the title? God. That's what you want to see?
Oh, yeah, definitely Triple H. I wanted Triple H as world champ, but since I'm my baby Roman's champion, it's even all good. Because Triple H will come back and be mad that Roman's champion now. And him, like you said, guys, he might go for the Rumble.
He may. It's hard to believe. 2016, Triple H winning the Royal Rumble and going to the main event of WrestleMania. You know, the more I think about it. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's kind of sad at the same time because there's not a lot of guys on the main roster that's not built to a monster like Triple H. But at this point, you kind of have to, or because he's the only option. Well, there's Brock Lesnar too, but they're saying that Owens might be going against him, so not a lot of options.
That would be interesting too. Kevin Owens, no longer Intercontinental Champion, however, giving Dean Ambrose a little bit of a headache tonight and saying that he is going to drive him insane. What do you think they're doing with Kevin Owens?
Oh, sure. Hey, a little character is the only that happened with Owens. This is the Owens I want to see taking names, kicking ass, and like, whatever. But good to see Ambrose as champions. About time. Finally, they can do something with that, because to be honest, through this whole year, he's been stale as hell. So, but nice to see Kevin Owens showing that little aggression on Monday, and definitely looking forward to see what Kevin Owens can do. I'm a big Kevin Owens fan.
One hell of a match we had tonight was between Team ECW going against the Wyatt family. What'd you think about that? A match we don't get to see very often on Raw or even at all in modern day WWE with the kind of violence that we saw there.
I mean, I was like, at first, I already saw this at TLC. I don't need to see it again. And Tommy Dreamer and WWE. Tommy Dreamer. Sorry, every time I just see Tommy Dreamer and WWE, I just laugh because it's really funny. 2015 Tommy Dreamer is on the main roster. But when the match went through, I'm like, damn, this is actually pretty good. I was just praying that the Wyatt family will win. Because, let's be honest, the Wyatt family has been losing. They've been losers. And they thought they finally won. So finally this can rejuvenate Wyatt's character and not make him a jobber again. So, but nice contest between the two. I love the spots between Tommy Dreamer when he slammed Luke Harper to the table. That was awesome. When Braun Strowman got with Tommy Dreamer to do the barricade. So it was good stuff between the factions.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer took a lot of the biggest beatings tonight, especially on the Rose Bush. We're going to talk more about the Rose Bush later, about the quips that he got. But yeah, have you been watching the last few weeks? Have you seen these Rose Bush segments they've had with Adam Rose?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I
that's being generous.
I mean, someone was funny about Tommy Dreamer today. But I guess at least, at least they give Adam Rose something to do. So I guess I can appreciate it.
Last thing I want to ask you about is New Day. What do you think about what they did tonight? Double crossing onto the other teams, extending them the hand of respect, and then turning around and laughing in their faces.
That New Day is just golden right now. They're one of my favorite acts going in WWE right now. Every time they come out with Biggie doing his little shimmy and Kofi doing his little turn, it's like, oh, these guys get me hyped. And they're actually my ringtone, by the way. Because when I wake up, when it says New Day, I'm like, yeah. Oh, like,
I believe you and Tony have something in common.
And it seems like you have something in common with Mojo if you get hyped.
All right. But that TSC match last night was that was amazing. That blew the dust ball from
it was who?
Kalisto. Oh my lord!
All right, Aisha. But, like we always to finish the calls here. What was your high point and low point for this show tonight?
Come on! I think we should all know the high point is definitely Roman Reigns winning the champion. Duh. And low point.
Duh.
The Divas. Sorry.
Poor ladies. All right, Aisha, it was good to hear from you again. Glad you're doing well. Always call in anytime you're available. And you have a good night.
Oh, you too, guys. See you later.
All right, we're going to continue the fun here on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. And keep inviting all of you out there to call in, area code 760-512-7247. You can also actually join us via Skype. If you like doing it that way, just press the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, the chat rooms, tweets, and the Facebook group comments will be coming in as well. We're going to take it back to the panelists here for a little bit, though, while we do a little bit talk about a couple other things that went down on the show tonight. So, fellas, next week is going to be the Slammy Awards. They do one of these. It seems like they're trying to do them yearly again now. They're making it a regular part of their on Raw as opposed to a show they usually do around WrestleMania weekend or however they've done it before. That's pretty cool. I'm always happy to continue to see the Slammy Awards. Few things they're doing very oddly this year, though. First off, man, are they going overboard with getting these sponsorships? Like last night, they had not one but two major sponsorships with K Jewelers and Toys R Us. They even did that whole skit where they had the Usos go with some guy to get a ring at K Jewelers and propose to a girl. Well, Slammy Awards next week are going to be presented by Coca-Cola.
I hope one of those polar bears wins.
Well, how ridiculous is this? We have to have an episode of Raw sponsored by something.
I'm not against it. It all depends on how far they take it, because they have announced one of the awards is the Hero in All of Us Award presented by or sponsored by or whatever Coca-Cola. So specifically, they added Coca-Cola into the name of one of the awards. And I don't know what the hell the hero in all of us is supposed to be. I'm assuming it's going to be one of these dumbass segments where we have to talk about, like,
breast cancer.
You know, Titus O'Neil went and fed a bunch of homeless people or whatever. Great that they're doing that shit, but I don't want to see it on my TV. I kind of don't care. I'm watching a wrestling show for wrestling.
I'm okay with that award if Kevin Owens wins it.
Yeah, for putting out Machine Gun Kelly.
That'd be great.
So, I don't know. I mean, if they go overboard with this, and if it's like, you know, every time that they cut to a commercial, it's like, presented by Coca-Cola. Remember, guys, Coca-Cola? Pepsi is not an okay option at the restaurant. Like, if they start doing that kind of stuff, it's going to be a little annoying. But if it's just, like, right next to the logo is a little Coca-Cola one, you know, I'm okay with it. Especially if that gives them enough money that they don't have to do something else worse.
Well, you know, it was really... go ahead, Wayne.
What I'll say is, though, this is, like, a really legit sponsor. People have always talked about...
Oh, they all are. Like, I mean, K Jewelers is massive for them to get a company like that to sponsor a pay-per-view.
Well, like, when they went to this PG era, a lot of people were complaining, but they didn't really see the bigger picture. This is the reason why. They want an image that people are going to be happy to slap their logo on. Now, I don't think their product reflects that, but that's why they did
it. Well, here's the thing. They're having record lows for their ratings, and everyone, as far as on the internet, is up in arms about it. But WWE, I mean, I'm sure they're concerned, but they're still making as much money as they've ever been as a company. They're posting record highs as far as their income, so I don't think they're as worried about that. And the reason for that is because they make awesome deals like this, because they got these major corporate sponsorships, and they've gotten their whole model figured out as far as their merchandising and the network and everything. But the rumor, it really is a machine now.
The rumor has it that the reason the K Jewelers thing is out there is because of USA. And that could be, you know, if WWE is not really that worried about the ratings, which, I mean, I'm sure that they want higher ratings because then it reflects their product better and stuff like that. But if it's USA coming down on them and saying, like, you guys got to do this or whatever like that, maybe there's something more along the lines of USA getting something out of the Coca-Cola deal and WWE just having to go along with it. Because it is the Slammy Awards on USA. It's not on the network.
Yes, but Kay's been a sponsor for non-USA television programs, so...
Yeah, Kay Jewelers.
Yeah, no, I don't think USA has the power to actually do that.
Really?
Like, they can do whatever advertisements they want between your segments, but as far as on-air stuff... I don't think they have the power to say you have to advertise a corporate sponsor. They could tell you.
I think they have the power to tell you not to advertise a certain product, but.
Yes.
Not that you have to. Either way, if they don't go overboard with it, I'm okay with it. Because I know if I were running a company and, you know, I do have my own stuff or whatever. If somebody said to me, Coca-Cola wants to put a little Coca-Cola logo next to Smack Talk every week, and they're going to pay me enough money, shit, I'm going to do it. And I wouldn't blame WWE, but at the same time, they got to also keep in mind that, like, that kind of stuff never goes over well with the fans. So if it ends up being, like, a representative from Coca-Cola comes out to give an award, dude's going to get booed to all
hell. Oh, yeah.
And that might be hilarious and totally worth it, but it's going to look really poor for WWE for, like, you know, Chet Johnson to come out and be like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to give out the Hero Award. And then people come out and it's just like, boo, fuck Chet. Like,
poor Chet.
Chet seems like a nice guy. But
yeah, fuck. You know, he's just out there trying to give a Hero Award. Yeah. And ruthless wrestling fans being a bunch of meanies. So another step that they had tonight with these crazy weird sponsor placements was for our Divas match. The Divas tag match we had with Charlotte and Becky against Foxy and Brie Bella was sponsored by that anti-smoking campaign.
It was?
Yeah, what's it called? Not Don't Ask, Don't Truth? Tell. No, not Truth. Has some other name now.
No, Truth got kicked out of the ring.
Did they need to, like, post-modernize it or some bullshit?
Well, I mean, you gotta update your campaigns every so often. You can't do the same thing forever.
Did they get, like, sponsored by Death Maggot?
No. You remember, like, back in the day, actually, the anti-smoking campaigns were...
Don't smoke.
No, it was Too Cool for School.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then eventually they moved into the truth. And now they're, it's whatever it is now. I can't remember what it is. Oh, is it above something? Rise Above? No, that's John Cena. All right, we're just going to move on from this.
Either way, I was too distracted by Brie Bella the whole damn time.
We got a couple tweets coming in here from one of our good friends, Dane Quinn. At Raw Post Show, Triple H will cost Reigns the title at Fastlane. They'll face each other at Mania. At Raw Post Show, and Daniel Bryan will be number 30 in the Royal Rumble. Meltzer is a moron. He's wrong all the time.
I agree with that last part.
I just figured you would. All right. Well, let's keep things rolling along here. We had an opening matchup between Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. Very awesome match. God, the night kick continued with an awesome opening between that fire opening with Stephanie McMahon and Roman Reigns, and then following up with this really great start. And it really made me optimistic that we were going to have a good show tonight, as we would go on continuing to have. Unfortunately, we never got an ending to this match because Kevin Owens interrupts, hits a pop-up powerbomb on Dean Ambrose twice, and then one onto Ziggler as well for good measure, and leaves them both laid out. And he gets met in the back by, I don't know, JoJo, doesn't matter. He basically says that everyone thinks Dean Ambrose is a lunatic and he's going to actually drive him insane. And the whole time he's breathing heavy and moving his hand all weird. Good work with Kevin Owens here. He's lost the title, and we were wondering if it was because they were going to start elevating him, and he's certainly starting to shine off like he might be going into higher pastures.
Yeah, definitely. This made me optimistic of how they're going to treat him in future, because I think this is the strongest he's looked since the John Cena feud. I mean, he just fucking planted Dolph Ziggler across Dean Ambrose with that powerbomb. It was sweet. I'm hoping he doesn't win the IC title back, because I think it'll actually be a detriment to him getting a main event push.
I think it was kind of curious, though, that JoJo was like, hey, can you explain to us why you attacked Dean Ambrose? And it's like, and Dolph Ziggler? He did sort of attack Dolph Ziggler too, but it's like, well, I don't care about why you attacked Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler cares, though. He's got a match against him on SmackDown. Tomorrow night? It's live tomorrow, right? Or is that next week?
No, that's next week. It's the week of Christmas.
Okay. So
all kicks off on Sunday with that Santa's Little Helper movie.
So I can not watch SmackDown on Thursday this week, because Star Wars is far too important. And then next week, I'll just have to figure out an excuse not to watch it on Tuesday.
Right. You could just say that you forgot because you thought it was on Thursday.
Yeah, there you go.
It's an easy one to get past.
Very interested in Kevin Owens going to the top, though. I mean, if this, I said before, if we get some Roman Reigns against somebody at WrestleMania, and I don't want it to be Brock Lesnar, if this is a means to boost Dean Ambrose up as the Intercontinental Champion and boost Kevin Owens up as the Royal Rumble winner, I'd totally be down for that.
Dean Ambrose looking good with that Intercontinental belt on his waist, too. Because the whole thing fits together nicely. I was a little shocked last night when he first won it, but I'm perfectly okay with how that's gone.
Yeah, Sean. That title's awesome looking.
Yeah, Sean. We had a really interesting backstage segment with the Dudley Boys, Tommy Dreamer, and Rhino, where they're in, I don't know, like a really big janitor's closet. It looked cool, though. It's different than where we usually see people doing promos. All promos these days, when they're in the back, are always done in that same Raw stage. They're all looking off to the side, where they're obviously looking at fucking cue cards. And they're all done in the same monotone thing, and then something happens, and they walk away, and the person interviewing them just stands there looking confused.
Bugs me to no end that they don't say back to you guys.
Right? Or just even if they do it in an awkward, like, hey, back to you guys. Just something.
Mm-hmm. They did it the other day. Somebody did it like a week or two ago, and it was so natural. I can't remember if it was Renee Young or if it was Tom Phillips, or it might have even been Rich Brennan, actually.
Damn it, Rich, fucking things up from the company order.
They're like, why are you making this look like it's natural? Rich, you're supposed to stand there awkwardly. God damn it.
Like, he just, like, I think I'd go to Rich Brennan and be like, just stand there awkwardly. And, like, he doesn't even do anything. He just stands there. He's like, there, just like that.
Yeah. He's like, well, how awkward do you want me to be? Just exactly what you're doing right now. It's perfect. Perfect, Todd.
But what'd you think about this? I thought this was a really good little promo they did here. Each one of them got their own time to say some piece. They overlaid videos of all of them from their original time back in ECW. Crazy to see how they've aged over the years. Especially Tommy Dreamer. I liked it.
How much better does Bubba look?
Oh, yeah. Bubba's the only one who's gotten better. D-Von basically looks the same. Rhino actually pretty much looks the same. I guess pretty much only Tommy Dreamer
looks
the same.
No, Rhino's arms got bigger.
Well, his arms got bigger, but, like, facially he looks the same.
Yeah, that's true. I'd actually be fine with
his body, too.
I'm actually fine if they wanted to bring Rhino up to the main roster and use him in the mid-carder. I love that guy. I'm not going to lie. I just totally marked out for him when he came back.
This might be his opportunity to get a place with that, you know? There's a lot of open spots on that roster.
Yeah, plus he's been working with NXT for a while, so they know that they can kind of rely on him.
Tommy Dreamer, though. I won't miss him when he's gone.
Nah. I like what he's doing here, but his place is to lose here and then, you know, go away for a little bit more. Cool thing backstage, though. I like that different setup. Nice little video package going on. I liked it.
We also had a cool, different, well, not different because it's in their style, but it's different from the normal style backstage promo with the Wyatt family. Again, each guy got a chance to say a few words. Bray Wyatt did the majority of it, though. I like this because one thing that I did last week, I had the list of things that pissed me off about Raw, and I said I was going to continue that until they had a good Raw. Well, way to go, WWE. Next week you had a good Raw, so I'm not really going to go into it as much. But one thing I was planning on talking about is how similar all those promos were. And yet this week we got two of them that were just completely different and unique and represented the characters that were saying them so well that, awesome. Thumbs up. Another one of the many things that I just really liked about this show tonight. This, of course, all led to a 4-against-4 match between the Wyatt family and Team ECW Rejects, as I wrote them in my notes here. This was just a brutal match. They brought all the weapons down in the ring. They had the trash can filled with everything from kendo sticks to baseball bats to the billy clubs. Like, I couldn't even believe the things that they had there. They didn't use them all. When I saw Bubba pick up the bat, I was like, there's no way he's actually going to whack somebody with that bat. I think he choked somebody with it, and that was it. Really brutal match. I think one of my favorite parts of it was Strowman picking up Tommy Dreamer into, like, a tombstone position, but instead he just rammed him through a barricade. Just a good match. What do you guys got to say about it?
Oh, yeah, I definitely had a lot of fun, and I actually think this was better than the match that they had at TLC, which wasn't bad.
Far better.
And that wasn't a bad match. It was just a clusterfuck of spots. But tonight was a lot of fun. The Wyatt family looked strong tonight as opposed to last night where it was like, the Wyatt family won a match. They came together, they looked like a unit, and it was cool getting to see the ECW guys get one last hurrah in Philly.
In Philly. That was one thing that made this match so special was how into the crowd was.
And I'm really not into the ECW. Like, I rolled my eyes when these guys came back, but if this is where it ends, this was a good way to do it.
And it was a good group of guys that got to do it. I'm glad they didn't try to bust out, like,
Stevie
Balls
Richards.
Mahoney or Stevie Richards. Or who's that Amish roadkill?
His name might be Roadkill.
I think it is Roadkill.
No, that's what I'm saying. I was trying to remember his name, then I remembered it. It was Amish Roadkill.
Who's that guy that I just said?
This match ends with Eric Rowan setting up Rhino on a table and doing a frog splash off of the top rope through the table and pinning Rhino.
Future fucking legend.
I think he's a legend now. Well, that was incredible.
Everybody was upset that he got eliminated. He was the only one to get eliminated. Well, he got it back.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to have to do another finisher versus finisher for Frog Splash and give it to him.
That was amazing. Perfect way to end that match. I jumped out of my seat for joy for Eric Rowan flying through the air like that. simply amazing. The only thing that I thought was kind of weird about this match, and it's not like a complaint, I just saw it and I was like, what? There was this point where Luke Harper had a kendo stick in his hand and he threw it onto the ground and it like bounced over the ropes and then landed into Bubba Ray's hands on the outside. I was like, that was fake. How do you make that perfectly happen like that?
CGI.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, how'd they do that? How'd they put the CGI on the live wrestlers? So that just kind of threw me off. But everything else about the match was just top notch. Definitely match of the night for me.
Very cool match. Better than the TLC one. They had like spots that made sense. They didn't bring out anything and then not use it, except for maybe the bat. But even the bat, like you said, he did use it to like choke somebody. So it's not like he threw up a baseball and said, I'm going to hit it with this bat, and then just walked away. Good to see that they took whatever happened at TLC and they amped it up. And I had so much more fun watching this than the one last night.
All right, we want to know what all y'all out there think about this 8-man tag we had, as well as everything else that happened on Raw tonight. Call in area code 760-512-7247. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show. And, of course, join us in the chat. All right, what else we got left here, guys? We already kind of talked about R-Truth and Bo Dallas. I mean, besides from Vince coming out, there's nothing we need to say about that, I'm sure, right?
Well, Bo Dallas got caught under the ropes at one point. You notice that?
No.
R-Truth went to send him across to the ropes, and something happened where like it bounced a little too high or his head was too low or whatever, and he almost got like clotheslined by the ropes. And I think it was JBL was just kind of like, ooh, like, oh shit. Like, and then that's like right before Vince McMahon made his entrance, and then they were just kind of like, you know, fuck off, you two, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, the crowd was definitely not into this match, and neither was I. No. So when Vince McMahon came out and scooted them away, the crowd was happy for it and they were cheering, not just because they were happy to see Vince, but because they were happy to not have to deal with that match anymore.
Plus R-Truth picked the one guy in the crowd that didn't know the lyrics to the song to stand next to.
Yeah.
The guy's just kind of like, what's up?
Yeah. We had a tag team matchup between the team of Jack Swagger and Ryback, or as I like to call them, Swagback. That just sounds like really appealing, right? Swagback. Against Rusev and Alberto Del Rio, representing the League of Nations. Came out with a new theme that I don't believe I've heard before, that I'm guessing is the representative theme for the League of Nations. I couldn't really get a good feel for it. Seemed a little odd to me at first, a little slow, but I'll give it a little more time. Tony, you're the other music critic here on this kind of things for these guys. What do you think about it?
I got two little notes right for this thing. First, they did that theme for the entrance, but then when Rusev got the win, they just went with Rusev's theme.
Oh, that's right.
It was a little bit weird. And second, why wouldn't you call the team Team Ryjack?
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, see?
That is good. Team Ryjack. Okay. this match ends with a double super kick onto Jack Swagger, Rusev getting the pin. This was not bad, just on top of everything else that we've had on the show tonight. This was just not something that stuck out.
Agreed. Blah. Made me just wonder where Barrett was.
The Rosebush happened for a third week in a row. I can't believe they're keeping this damn thing going. But to the credit of it, I actually got a good chuckle out of this week's edition of the Rosebush. It was the very final line they made, where Adam Rose was saying Tommy Dreamer was upset about something he said on the last week's show of it. And he said, oh, Tommy, I didn't know your skin was as thin as your hair. That was a pretty good burn.
It's funny.
You know what wasn't a good burn? That fucking table in that table.
See, now that's funny.
Yeah,
learn you something, Adam Rose.
So 3 weeks, guys.
Third strike and they're out. They need to trim this rose bush.
He's gonna make it until Royal Rumble. I'm convinced. They're gonna do something with him for Royal Rumble, and then maybe we won't see him anymore. Mm. But they're gonna stick with it until then.
God damn it.
We had a match between Neville and Tyler Breeze, which Tyler Breeze couldn't have mattered less in this matchup because we had The Miz coming out. He sat ringside with a director's bullhorn shouting directions during the match, pretty much like he's leading a movie set. Breeze just is a total jabroni already, which is completely sad. Another horrible mishandling of a main roster talent. Neville gets the victory here. Miz and him are talking backstage afterwards, where him and Miz kind of make a pact where Miz wants to copy Neville's accent and Miz will help make Neville a star.
A pack?
A pact.
You said a pack, like P-A-C?
A pack no, of I pacts. Said
pact. P-A-C-T.
Oh, I heard pack. I thought you were just making a joke about his old name, Pac.
Shut the fuck up.
So, first off, thoughts about Tyler Breeze meaning nothing already?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Pretty much expected it.
I don't know why, but I'm not surprised.
Maybe because that's happened to almost every single person they've brought up.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know why they would be in that kind of a problem, you know? Like, Tyler Breeze is good. Just have him wrestle, and then he's good.
Apparently he's not good enough. He's not at the Neville level, apparently.
Yeah.
But The Miz is.
He's going to be a terrible James Bond, though.
Well, we'll have to see how he does in Santa's Little Helper first.
Jesus, yeah, we're going to see that.
I'm actually going to watch it.
Really? I feel so sorry for you.
I got to watch something for the Christmas season, and I kind of don't feel like watching the same old movies I watch every year.
Just rewatch Mr. Hank Get the Christmas Poo.
Well, if that's on, I'll watch that too.
Home Alone 2, and Bad Santa.
Well, Jingle All the Way if I'm going to watch the old movies. But again, that's what I'm trying to avoid these movies I've seen a dozen times. So you know what? I want to watch that, and I want to go see Krampus. And those will be my Christmas movies for this year.
Well, I can't support this for either of those.
You don't want to see Krampus?
No, not at all. Not in the slightest bit.
Oh, my. Okay. Pull out to everybody in the chat room, on Twitterverse, whoever's listening. Tell us what you think about both the movies, Santa's Little Helper and Krampus. Will these be part of your holiday watching schedules?
While you're at it, I might go to the movies over the next few days. Should I see Creed, Hunger Games, or The Night Before? Now, there's a Christmas movie I'm actually interested in seeing.
Or maybe you can see Krampus.
All of those sounded good other than The Night Before. I don't even know what that is.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
fuck that shit.
Now I want to make a pizza.
Yeah. Someone to Doom is saying Seesaw Creed and it was amazing. I've heard nothing but positive things for Creed.
Seesaw Creed. I heard that was kind of back and forth.
But see Krampus. That's what you should see. So we had a segment with the New Day out, seeming very humbled, talking about being warriors surviving last night and the bruises that they've endured and dealing with it that night. They invite out both the Usos and Lucha Dragons and show them nothing but respect, putting out their hands to shake them. And after a bit of convincing, the Usos and Lucha Dragons finally go along, shake the hands back. But as they're leaving to walk out, New Day begins their old gloating habits, talking about how they're their W. Okay, I'm not going to do the whole thing. Oh, but you know how they really extend. After they only do it for a couple seconds, though, and they're not even doing it that bad. It's not like they're saying, hey, you guys are a bunch of chumps, you're the losers, we're the winners. They were just like saying, oh, we're happy, we're the champs, woo, New Day rocks. And Lucha Dragons and Usos run back to the ring and just start beating the shit out of them. The crowd is like, what the crap, you sore losers, you assholes, what are you doing? And they boo them. And I don't think that was the intention. Yeah, no, good. I am so glad they booed him because that's exactly what they should have done. New Day looked like a bunch of gallant gentlemen, and Usos and Lucha Dragons looked like a bunch of sore pansies.
Yeah, be a star. I don't think this is a double turn, though.
No?
No, I think this is just WWE probably thought that people would like it.
See, I could see this being a really refreshing thing for the tag division. Take New Day to babyfaces, make both Usos and Lucha Dragons into heels, and that's a big shakeup.
It could be, it kind of depends on how they follow it up next week and stuff, because really the next two entities in the tag division that could be in line for those titles are League of Nations, if Wade Barrett ever shows the fuck up, and Wyatt Family.
Well, for the tag belts, I mean, it looks like they've had Rusev and Del Rio as a team.
Oh, that would be great, because then that would mean that he should get rid of the U.S. title.
Well, I'm almost assuming that goes back to John Cena when he comes back. Even if it's short term, I think he's getting it that at least back onto his waist, even if it's a transitional to go to somebody else.
I'm cool with that. He's been the best U.S. champion they've had for years.
Oh, absolutely. Can't disagree with that there. Even though they boasted about how Dean Ambrose had one of the longest reigns.
Yeah, he defended it like twice.
I think they made one of the lamest reigns.
It's certainly up there. Speaking of lame, we had a Divas tag team match between Brie Bella and Alicia Fox going against Charlotte and Becky Lynch. Ric Flair still hanging around, grasping onto Charlotte's leg. But he does get a moment in this match where he causes a trip, allowing Becky to put the disarmer onto Alicia Fox. Charlotte and Becky winning, but via dubious means, not at the knowledge of Becky Lynch. She doesn't know that this happened. So this is sort of a slow burn thing they're doing between these two girls. It's not complete dog shit, but it's not very good either.
Had this have been on a typical Raw, which was shit, this segment would have been a lot worse. But there was enough good on this where you can somewhat forgive it.
Brie looked hot. We didn't have to hear Paige. Becky gets the win instead of Charlotte getting the win. Okay.
All right, guys. So we've come to the end of the show, actually. Talked about a lot of fun things that went down on Raw tonight. We're not completely done yet, though. We're still got a little bit of time and other things we're going to do. So if you have thoughts about tonight's Raw, still time to dial in, tweet to us, drop it in the chat room. In the meantime, we're going to start doing some other things here besides just talking about Raw. And of course, one of our more popular things we've been doing here lately has been wrapping up the show with a game. And I have one of those for you guys tonight. We're going to bring back one we haven't played in a while called Under the Hood. So the way Under the Hood works is I'm going to give a topic to our host here, and they are going to write down or type five examples of that of what I gave them.
Well, I'll write mine down, but I don't know when you'll get them.
You're going to type it up into our Skype chat here, and you're going to say, "Well, you know, you're both in the Blog Talk Radio chat, right?"
Mm-hmm.
All right, so why don't you do it there, so that way they can see them too. So you're going to type up five all in one line. And you're not going to hit enter until I tell you to. And when I say hit enter, you're going to drop them into the chat. And basically the point of what you want to do is you want to have as many unique answers from the other guy as you possibly can. Person who has the most unique answers wins this edition of Under the Hood. Understood? Because I think the last time we played this, we had some confusion.
Yeah, Tony fucked up last time.
I'm like trying to specifically not position my fingers near the enter key.
Okay.
Can't make any promises.
All right. So this theme for this week's Under the Hood is authority figures. That's right. Authority figures. So people on WWE TV that have authoritative powers.
Currently or?
Ever.
Okay.
Only WWE, though. Not TNA. Not even NXT. WWE. All right. And continue writing. Yeah, you guys can start typing now. I'm sorry. Give our hosts a little bit of time. Again, as I said, authority figures. People who could come onto WWE TV and pretty much run the show as they want to. Define popular? No, chat room's talking about something else. Yeah, chat room, don't give examples. Shut your mouths. All right, you guys about ready?
Sure.
I think I'm pretty much tapped out.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, enter and send it to the chat. All right, let's see what we got. Oh, Jesus Christ. You guys wrote down a lot. let's see. Tony's got Steven Regal or William Regal. Wow, Steven Regal. Why the hell did I call him that? Sergeant Slaughter. Mick Foley, Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, Triple H, Anonymous GM, Hornswoggle, It's technically two of the same guy, but okay. HBK, Austin, Vicky, AJ Lee, and Mike Adam Lee. Good one. Let's see. Wago's got Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, Eric Bischoff, Paul Heyman, Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, Teddy Long, Gorilla Monsoon, Seth Green, Rob Zombie, and Mike Adam Lee. Okay. I mean, those technically count. That was when they were doing that whole guest GM type shit. All right. Let's see how many originals we got here. So Slaughter's on both, right?
Nope.
No. Only Tony's got Slaughter. Foley is only on Tony, too. Anonymous GM, Hornswoggle, HBK, Austin, Vicky, and AJ Lee. So that's eight for Tony.
I think I lost.
And Wago, we got Bischoff, Heyman, Angle, Teddy Long, Gorilla, Seth Green, and Rob Zombie. That's seven.
Yes.
All right. Wow. Very, very close. Very cool edition of Under the Hood this week. Your winner this week is Tony Mango. And as we've known, if you've listened to the show before, the loser has to read the plugs for us at the end of the show. And the winner gets to choose how that person has to read those plugs. So you in the chat room there can feel free to give suggestions for Tony to choose from that you think Wago should read the plugs in the style of. In the meantime, though, we still got a couple more things we need to get through here before we get to that. First off, favorite commercial. My favorite commercial this week was absolutely another one of the ones they did for SmackDown moving to Thursday nights on USA. They had a commercial where it was Stephanie McMahon and Triple H interviewing guys trying to go for a part, I guess, and helping advertise the move. And it was all the wrestlers pitching their ideas and how they wanted to do it. It was fun. And a lot of good character work in there. I dug it.
I like the other one better with Bray Wyatt going to the office comes building.
Up, we're here.
You sure you got the right day? I'm sure.
And then all the other wrestlers start lining up on you. That's a good one as well.
See, I like that one better because I don't like the Stardust joke on the one that you're talking about. Where he's
they
just
killed
like,
it.
And he's like, stars, and I fucking got it. It's not funny.
Yeah. If it was just the first time, it would have been fine, but because they pushed it in your face, like, right. Get it? Nitpicker?
Get it? He's got stars because you starred us.
All right. Well, let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most must-avoid part. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, feel free to drop it into the chat room or tweet it to us, and we'll read it here on the show. But first, let's get the panelists here. Wago, what's your GBU?
So my good has to go to Roman Reigns being the champion. That's fucking awesome. My bad, I'm going to give it to Ric Flair's skin. I don't need to see him on screen anymore. Like, you've heard my disgust for old man skin. Well, he's the king of old man skin.
He really is. You know, oddly enough, I went back and watched the mid-80s Starcades because those were a December show, and it's December, so I don't know. I just felt like watching a couple of those. And I got to see really young Ric Flair during his heyday then battling Harley Race and Dusty Rhodes. Man, you don't even recognize him.
Is that when his hair is, like, twice the size of his head?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the poofy hair. He wrestled Harley Race at one of those Starcades in a cage match. It was just bloody as fuck.
Oh, yeah. That was the very first Starcade.
Mm-hmm. And then he wrestled Dusty at the next one, I think.
The next two.
Ric Flair in a bloody match? No.
Well, and here's the funny thing. At the next one after that steel cage match, which was super bloody, Dusty Rhodes gets a small cut below his eye, and the referee stops the match. The main event of the biggest show of the year. Referee stops the match for a little bit of blood.
Dusty finish,
yeah. All right, Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I had three things that I couldn't quite decide which I was going to give the good to, but I'm going to knock off Brie looking hot and the Extreme Rules match and give it to the WWE title match because it ended up being fun. It was a good way to end the show, a good way to make up for TLC, and they turned the crowd around, and that was a huge reason why I ended up giving this the good. The bad, that WWE shop thing with primetime players.
Oh, yeah.
That was garbage.
Specifically, Darren Young was just annoying. What was he keep saying? Dab.
Dab. Yeah, I'm like, shit, man. Like, I thought that you were injured or something. Go back to doing
that. Yeah, there's a reason why they're trying to push Titus and not you. You're just extra baggage that they can't get rid of for, like, PC reasons.
And the saddest thing about that is Titus isn't even good. He's just better than Darren Young.
He's not good. He's just big.
Mm-hmm. He looks really good by comparison.
Just call me Santa Titus. No.
No.
No, not at all. Santa O'Neill, if anything. Jesus. The ugly, though, I gotta give it to the Rosebush. Still not funny. I got to imagine Rosebush number 4 is not going to be funny. Number 8 is not going to be funny. Number 16 isn't. And goddamn, they better not go to that far.
I never got to give my ugly. That was up there, but I'd have to give it to Tommy Dreamer's pants. Can't believe he's still wearing that shit.
Oh, gosh.
It's better if he didn't wear them, right?
Why didn't somebody say something to him about that? I guess because then you're, like, spitting on Dusty, right?
Yeah.
But everyone even makes fun of Dusty for wearing those ugly things.
Yeah, that's like the low point in his career.
All right, well, we got one in the chat room here. Silent One to Doom saying, good, a Lucha Dragon called either Jimmy or Jay. God, you don't know anyone in this exchange? One of the Lucha Dragons and one of the Usos. Okay, one of the Lucha Dragons called one of the Usos an Us.
I think it was Axel or something.
Yeah. Bad. Roman went from rage-filled monster last night to saying, I know you are, but what am I to Stephanie tonight? And he also made another stupid ball joke. Mm-hmm. Stop doing those.
Yeah.
At least he didn't say it like 50 times.
Hater talk.
Ugly. Hater I missed talk. The Stardust Titus O'Neil segment tonight. They didn't have one. That's why you missed it. Or was there one?
No, wasn't any.
Titus O'Neil was in that terrible WWE shop segment.
Better use of his time.
Yeah. All right. So my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I'm going to give to Vince McMahon coming out and breaking up a match. Especially because it was Bo Dallas and R-Truth, a match we didn't need to see. My bad, I'm going to give to... Well, I put down Swag back, but now I got to change it to Ryjack.
Damn right.
Against the League of Nations tag match. Just a boring, drab match. Really just a low point for the show. My ugly is us killing elephants, guys. What are we doing? We're monsters.
Well, they're Canadian. These are
beautiful... I'm a monster!
These are beautiful, wonderful creatures, and they're being poached and killed for their horns all over the world. Only you can help by going to mywwf.org and giving generously to help stop people from killing elephants.
But yeah, if you want some horns, kill unicorns instead.
That's sweet-ass ivory, though.
So how weird was it seeing a WWF commercial on WWE?
Yeah, it just shows that they're a bunch of fucking pussies.
They should have had, if they're going to do, like, those little tie-in things, like we had Adam Rose do the Mike's Hard Lemonade or whatever it was, do one of those things, but have El Torito.
Oh, you know what would have been great? Every time they said WWF, they'd cut the F out.
They'd blur it on the logo on the screen.
Yeah, that'd be fucking, like, the best payback ever.
Please donate to www.com.
That would indeed be the ultimate revenge. Alright guys, nothing left to do here except tell the people about what else is going on in our worlds. Tony, have you decided how you're going to make Wago read the plugs tonight?
But right now I'm just going through my mind of all the ideas of what they could do with different animals to piss them off. Like, they could show how everybody booed the animal Batista. I actually have one suggestion that I thought was kind of interesting, although I don't know if that's better than one of the other ones or not. It kind of depends on Wago's knowledge of it. But Wago, I can't remember. Are you a Star Wars fan or not?
Like, I've watched them, but I don't retain much.
So if you were to do different Star Wars characters for different plugs, would that just be like you don't know what the hell, how to do a Yoda impression and stuff?
It wouldn't be very good.
Well, the other suggestion was to do one in the style of a Rosebush segment as Adam Rose.
I wouldn't even know how to be that bad.
I think you could try. Unless you want to merge these together, because you said that the Star Wars one would be bad. If you want to do Star Wars characters in the impression of Adam Rose doing those.
Oh my God.
As a Rosebush segment. So Adam Rose doing.
How about I do it in everybody's favorite Star Wars character? Ready? Misa think you should check out smartcardmoment.com. Annie, also check out StephenWago.com and check out the Post Raw Show every week. There you go.
Sound more like Mario.
Yeah, yeah, that's
what it is. Well, I told you it was going to be. I told you it was going to be terrible. So there you go.
Annie, and go to the rest of the stuff.
Hey, it's better than Drew trying to be. What did I try to make him be the other day?
Oh, I was. If you would have ended up winning this one, you probably would have told me to do it in the style of somebody waiting in line for Star Wars or something. Or it's waiting in line for Krampus.
Waiting in line for the bathroom. It's like, oh my god. Is this going to take forever?
Just go to the show. All right. YouTube.
I think that's enough for tonight, guys. We're going to wrap it up here. If you enjoyed the show, join us every week here on MegaPowersRadio.com. As soon as Raw goes off the air, this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com. We'll see y'all next week for Tony Mango, for Stephen Huego. I'm Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.